Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, we got a brand new guy over here, a fellow I met 10 minutes ago. His name is Zach Oxendine. Zach is... got family roots here in good old Rock Hill, South Carolina. He works with Microsoft. He's a program manager in the nation's capital of Washington, D.C.
Yep.
And you don't have any arrows in you. You look like you
are... Yeah, some tattoos, but that's okay.
That's all right.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Zach.
Yeah. So born and raised in Rock Hill. Actually, Leslie. So I got to give Leslie a shout out. graduated Rock Hill 2014. You know, my mom and dad, Angel Riston and Mike Oxnine, they were deaf, so I grew up with deaf parents. A lot of people run into Mike all the time. They would know him. And then I enlisted in the Air Force at 18 years old, got the role of cyber system operations. I was active duty for 4.5 years doing cyber system operations. Then went and did cyber systems at a defense contractor. And then during that time is where I really pursued the role of becoming an engineer at Microsoft. Which I was able to do. I'm actually still in the Air Force Reserves. I'm a Cyber System Staff Sergeant in the Air Force Reserves. Engineering at Microsoft. I build STEM camps. I do keynotes and lectures all over the country. Yeah.
And how old are you?
I'm 27.
27
yeah.
years old.
Yes, sir.
You're off to a good start. So did the United States military teach you all this computer stuff, or were you always... into it before you got into the military?
Actually, this is funny because before I got into the Air Force, I wouldn't call myself a tech person. I mean, folks who know me from high school, I was a writer, a sports writer on the school magazine. Shout out Mr. Rashley. I actually won a competition, an entrepreneur competition for the state of South Carolina by building a clothing brand called Lowry Gang. I was in like 4 or 5 plays under Miss Daniels. I did theater. And I took AP courses. History was my favorite class, so I did all of these random things, and then my Uncle Dave actually sat me down one day. We were kind of talking about the prospects of college and what that looked for me financially, and became very real that it, you know, it wasn't going to be in my best interest if I was being honest with myself.
Right.
He was a retired Marine, so I decided to enlist in the Air Force. Based on the scores I had on the ASVAB, I got the job of cyber system operations, and then they taught me everything I know about cyber. I really skilled myself during that time in the Air Force, 18 to 22.
So your job basically is to make sure the bad guys don't get inside your computer.
Yeah. We, you know, when you think about, you know, war movies, you think about there's a line in the sand and or ditch, and there's two people shooting each other, an airplane in the air. When you think about, like, the cyber battlefield, think about, you know, a billion grenades going off every single second of every single day. And my job is to basically keep space between us and all of those grenades going off.
Now, you know, I know when somebody rolls a grenade in here, you could see it. Boom.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So how do you know there's been a grenade rolled into your cyberspace world that you live in?
Yeah, you might know by the details of in a log that you get from a computer system. You might know from the details of an IP address. You might know because you lose access to something that's very critical. And so there's a variety of ways that we keep our nation's information safe. You know, I employ everybody on this call. Cybersecurity is booming. We're going to have hundreds of thousands of open jobs in cybersecurity over the next couple years.
When you think of the world we live in now,
yeah,
I mean, everything is computerized. Everything.
Right.
And you always hear people talking about how vulnerable we are when you take a look at things like the electrical grid.
Yeah.
How much effort would it take for somebody who had bad intentions to get inside our systems that control the electrical grid and just shut us all down?
Yeah, that's always going to be a threat. That's always going to be something that we're going to have to be hyper aware of. But I'm very confident in our nation's cybersecurity warriors and our cybersecurity infrastructure. It's improving every single day. So that always is going to be a possibility, and we always have to be prepared for what that looks like. But we're doing a very good job in this country of skilling people, making sure people have the tools available to defend against that.
I was just going to ask you. Now, if I had to grade, if you were giving the grade,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
and you take a look at everything that you know.
Right, which ain't a lot.
Come on now. Come on. I know you're only 27, but what the – all right. How would you grade how we are as a country? Would you give us an A? Would you give us a minus, B plus?
On the subject of cybersecurity.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it's in terms of what you know.
Okay.
And trying to keep the bad guys out.
Is this a grade being evaluated next to our peers, or is this a grade just standalone?
This is a standalone. Okay, well, two grades.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'll make the easy one first. Compared to our peers.
We're an A, for sure, all day long.
Are we better than China?
Absolutely.
All right.
We have something in America called creativity. They don't.
Good for you.
Yeah.
All right. Now, as far as standalone.
Standalone, I would say a C.
C?
Yeah. You know, people get in cars nowadays, and they know putting on a seatbelt makes them safe. We haven't got seatbelts, yes, when it comes to our technology in America. We're driving cars down the road 80 miles an hour thinking we're going to be A-okay all day.
So explain that further, because I'm sure...
Yeah, people get on their phones and they share information willy-nilly. They click links willy-nilly. The cyber awareness, the awareness of what it means to use technology and where their information's going and the things they're using, we have a long way to go.
So what you're telling me is that if I were to look at your phone here and you have whatever apps that you have on there, you just don't use them without thinking about what I'm about to do.
Correct. I use them with the wisdom of somebody who's in this industry. And everybody has wisdom, no matter where they come from.
Well, I sometimes wonder about that because I look at all the junk that's out there.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just talk about Facebook.
Yeah,
everybody
yeah.
loves Facebook. Let's
right.
get on Facebook and tell them about this. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. What's happening with that in terms of my secure site if I'm telling the whole world I'm out here cutting the grass?
Yeah. Well, if you're somebody important, you're telling somebody where you're at, you know. You just got to keep in mind that information can always be used against you, and that's always existed, right? And with the proliferation of social media and the proliferation of the apps we use, that information becomes easier and easier to access. And so I just tell everybody to be wise about the things that they use. But here's the thing. Social media is a tool. And like anything else, if you use that tool correctly, it can really benefit you and everybody and the things that you care about.
All right, so besides people knowing how stupid I am to put that on there, that I'm out mowing grass, as far as them being able to get inside of my phone or my computer to mess me up or grab information I don't want them to have,
right?
These apps are pretty safe on that?
Yeah, I would say so. As long as you're not clicking any links that you're not sure of where the origin of that link comes from,
right,
you should be fine. Keep your social medias locked down. You know, only share information with friends and people that you know. They're better than many other things that we use.
So for Microsoft,
yep.
You are into this cybersecurity stuff.
I work in cybersecurity, and just to be clear, I don't speak for Microsoft. It's a very large corporation. But, yes, I work on tools that keep cybersecurity and data information safe.
And you're one of a large team of people who do this all the time.
Oh, yeah, all kinds of people. Yeah, all over the world.
It's like you say, this is a booming career.
Absolutely.
And if somebody is good with computers and you're looking for a profession, here you go.
Yeah.
You might want to go via the route of the military and let them train you.
Yeah, no, I do recommend. Anybody's thinking about it, Air Force all day.
So how did you end up in Washington, D.C.?
That's a great question. So when I was getting towards the end of my enlistment, my first enlistment, I knew I wanted to get out, and I actually had kind of an idea that maybe I wanted to be an officer. So I actually got into the University of South Carolina and was there for a couple months before I dropped out. I dropped out. There was a variety of reasons, but one of them being school was not necessarily for me. But
it's not for everybody.
Yeah, I had a lot of job opportunities, to be honest with you, based on the experience that I had in the Air Force. And I'd never seen that kind of money before. And so I took it upon myself to take a good job and buy a home and do that. But I was really, really gung-ho about working for Microsoft. I really love what Microsoft does. Microsoft, in terms of a company, I think A lot of our values are aligned, and the technology they create, I think, are very important to American society and in the world at large.
Wow.
And I knew people that worked there, and I could see myself in them. So I worked really hard in that first job outside of my first enlistment. And I found that for me to get an opportunity at a company like Microsoft, I'm going to have to leave home. And so I just went back and forth about it, but I took it, and it ended up being a fantastic decision.
Now, I want you to tell everybody, because we always talk about being determined, setting a goal and going after it, and the heck with whatever the obstacles are, you keep going for it.
Absolutely.
You just didn't get into Microsoft on your first try.
Oh, no, man. I probably applied 20, 25 times. I did 3 interview loops. You know, it was funny. Every other week, I'd get an email from Microsoft saying, thank you for applying. Continue to apply to our roles here at Microsoft, but, you know, you're not getting an interview. But by the time I got the 3rd job interview, I was ready. I was confident. You know, I feel like I presented myself well. I did my research, and I nailed it. Got the job offer. They didn't waste no time.
Do they put you through some kind of a, let's see what you really know? In front of a computer and say, blah, blah, blah.
No. They grill you.
Grill you.
Yeah.
Verbally.
Yeah. Scenarios. I think every interview is different, but the people that gave me my interviews put me through a variety of scenarios where I had to prove my wits. The most important thing about those scenarios is when you don't know the answer, admitting you don't know is actually important.
Yeah.
Because then you show that you're willing to go find the answer. Microsoft's all about collaboration. More people need to do that in their companies.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Well, I could talk to you all day about Microsoft and your life's journey. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
But you are here for a purpose because...
Of course.
And I don't want to lose this. I mean, you've been working with STEM. And explain to everybody what STEM is.
Yeah, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Right. STEM.
You hear it all about in the school systems around here.
Right.
But you've gotten very much involved with this as well down in Washington, D.C.
Yes, I have. Yep.
To the point that you told me a few minutes ago that you actually had a chance to speak at the White House about this?
Yes, I did a speech at the White House in December. It's a crazy story.
Tell me. I want to hear the story.
Okay, so short story on the speech of the White House. I developed a reputation of doing speaking engagements on cybersecurity and finding ways to help community colleges build the workforce gaps, 2-year colleges build the work, fill the workforce gaps that we have in technology. And I also developed a reputation for being an ambassador and advocate for American Indian and Native American communities, being that I'm a member of the Lumbee tribe. And so all of these things kind of coalesced to where I started getting speaking engagements. I did a speaking engagement on cybersecurity for community colleges at a conference in Washington State. And at that conference in Washington State, there were White House people there. Funny enough, basically I get told, hey, we want you to do the keynote speak at our STEM Equality and Opportunity Alliance event at the White House on Monday. Can you be there? I said, I live near there, no problem. And they said, okay, you got 2 hours to write this speech. I wrote the speech in 2 hours. They wanted to make some edits. I pushed back on those edits. Finally, we got a final copy. And I did the speech at the White House in December. Yeah, there's a link if anybody's interested.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get you to give me that link before we leave here. I mean, that's good for you.
Yeah.
Was the president there?
He was in the West Wing. All the cars were there, so I knew he was in the West Wing. Yeah.
But you had some big dogs out there.
Yeah, his entire cabinet that focuses on science, technology, and cybersecurity was there. There was a lot of big dogs in the room, to be honest with you.
Good for you.
Yeah,
good
yeah.
for you. It's quite a story. All right. So science, technology.
Yes.
Math, and what was the other one?
Engineering.
I don't know why I can't remember that.
Oh, that's okay.
So tell me what these camps are all about and what you're doing here locally.
Yeah, of course. So science, technology, engineering, math are pillars of American society. As early as our founding fathers, really, we were scientists. Benjamin Franklin was a scientist. These folks were engineers. Benjamin Franklin was an engineer. Thomas Edison was an engineer. They were mathematicians. And American fortitude and American prosperity really is built on us going to the moon, us building interstate systems, us, developing the first computers, us creating institutions where people from all over the world want to come and learn. And now it feels like we're falling behind. And a lot of that, you know, there's a variety of reasons for it. But what I'm trying to do, what I'm hyper-focused in doing, is to getting folks that grew up like I did from communities like mine to see themselves in those fields. Because to be honest with you, we need to be participating in those conversations. Not only participating in those conversations, but we need to be building those things. We need to be leading, you know, the charge in the science, technology, engineering, math. If anybody has any opinions during the pandemic, I think we all can agree that had we had more folks with more diverse points of view participating in the pandemic dialogue and the pandemic research, we would have had we could have had better ways to, you know, solve some of those issues. And so cybersecurity just as much. And so when it comes to building these camps, what I'm trying to do, especially for the local community, is I want to inspire young scientists, young technologists, young engineers, and young mathematicians to go out and solve the world's problems, but do it from the perspective of the communities they came from.
Good for you. That's great. So you've got one operating here in Rock Hill?
Yeah, we're going to be building our first York County camp June 11th through the 16th.
All right, so tell me, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a mid-program break and remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Okay, when it comes to fresh subs and salads, it's all about Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, right across from Winthrop, as I just said. We have the formula that works for between 10A and 9P, 6 days a week. Zach is all ready, so is Charlie. Are we ready at the count of three? One, two, three.
Slice. Garden.
It's Straight Talk on WRHI.
What's new at Substation 2 is not on the menu board. It's on your phone.
This is Charlie Ruffalo.
Go to the App Store, download our new app, order the best sub anywhere online, and it'll be ready when you arrive. And don't forget the free stuff you get with our new rewards program. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Now open, the new Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill, featuring personalized and comprehensive obstetrical services, 24/7 emergency care, and skilled surgeons who know the importance of getting to know you and your family. Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill, providing care for the Fort Mill community by your local community. Care that feels like home, close to home. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com/Fort Mill.
Put some extra room in your monthly budget. Right now, when you refinance your ride with Founders, you can beat your current auto rate by 1% and make no monthly payments for 90 days. That's a deal that will leave you feeling super confident that you can pay off your vehicle. Get moving. Visit foundersfcu.com/superrates to see how we can help you get moving. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's new at Substation 2 is not on the menu board. It's on your phone. Go to the App Store, download our new app, order the best sub anywhere online, and it'll be ready when you arrive. And don't forget the free stuff you get with our new rewards program. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop. Zach Oxendine is with us. He's with Microsoft. He's a program manager par excellence. But he's also all about science, technology, engineering, and math. And he's starting a camp, a STEM camp, here in Rock Hill between the 11th and the 16th of June. All right. Number one, where is this camp going to be held?
Yeah, so it's going to be held at a variety of locations throughout the week. We're going to have a home base at the Gravity Center. Shout out to my friends over there, David Stringer, Ryan Sanderson, and folks.
Yeah.
But we're also going to have an entire day at Winthrop University. We're going to have a half a day at Microsoft's campus in Charlotte. We'll have a half a day at the Gravity Center, where we'll have local tech companies participate, to include the Insignia Group from David Stringer. We'll have an entire day at the Catawba Indian Nation, which I'm really excited about because they're going to get to show off some of their new innovative agricultural. That's going to be like an agricultural type day. And then we'll have an entire day at my favorite, York Technical College. I'm a big fan of two-year institutions and the role they play in our community. And then we'll end it with a nice party for all of our folks down at Burgess Creek Events with my uncle and them.
Jeez, wow. So this is a jam-packed day. All right, how do we get into this thing? I mean, is it open to everybody?
It's rising 11th through 12th graders. So if you're going to be in 11th grade or 12th grade in a high school in York County, South Carolina, then you are able to apply to get in this camp. There's 25 spots, but anybody, there's no GPA requirement. We just ask that you have a teacher recommendation, you do the short essay, and you tell us why you think STEM could be a field for you.
So it sounds like you're taking the criteria that you were selected, how you got into Microsoft, and applying it to this STEM camp. It's not... You got to show you really want this.
Yeah. There's initiative to get into a camp like this. There's only 25 slots, and we're really, trying to get the students to articulate why they think they could make a difference in STEM and what STEM means to them and what their interests are. You don't get to know somebody and come to this camp. You don't get to sign your name on a sheet and come to this camp. And you don't get to pay me money to come to this camp. This camp will be free to the students. So we really want to find our future scientists, our technologists, and engineers in this community, and we want to give them the experiences to inspire their creativity in those fields, but we also want to give them the network. There's going to be engineers, scientists, and technologists, and professors throughout this camp that are going to get to know these kids by name and face.
What an opportunity.
Absolutely.
This is great. We're even going to go to Microsoft.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, Microsoft's going to give them badges and everything. It's going to be fun.
Good Lord. How did you pull all of that? How did you get all these... Microsoft, Winthrop University, York Technical College, Gravity Center. How did you get them all
to do
this?
I hope one day they pull out my report cards from high school. But one time, I heard, it ain't the grades you make, it's the hands you shake. And so really pulling this all together, if it ain't grit and ain't determination, it's more or less just having conversations like me and you are right now and people seeing the vision. We need a lot more support, y'all. I can go to Washington, D.C. right now and raise $100,000, and I come back home, and it's, like pulling teeth to get $500. For kids to attend this camp for free, for them to have meals to eat, for us to have bus, for us to have the facilities that these kids, can have to be able to pursue their dream here at the Pursuit of STEM Camp, we need sponsors as well. So if anybody's listening, definitely hit me up.
Okay, good. So do you have some sponsorship packages?
Yeah, we do have sponsorship packages. You can sponsor an entire student. That means if you are from the York community and you want a kid from York High School, and I need to add this, we're going to have a kid from every high school in this county. That's a guarantee. We're also open to homeschooled students in that age group. But if you're from York and you want a kid from York Comprehensive High School to attend this camp, $1,500 will sponsor that kid. It'll cover their logistics. It'll cover the cost of chaperoning. It'll cover the cost of hotel stay if we end up pursuing hotel stay for this camp. It'll cover the cost of all their meals and the gifts that they receive during the camp. If you want to sponsor multiple students, well, $1,500 per student. And if you want to have a piece of this camp, we have a $5,000 package and a $10,000 package if Comporia or anybody else is listening.
Good for you. Good for you. So what's the response been so far? Are you now just getting the word out?
We're getting the word out. I think we've been getting the word out for about 2 weeks now.
Right.
There's been overwhelming amount of support from people thinking this is a brilliant idea and thinking that this is something this community really needs. But we do need more applicants. We need more students getting their applications in. April 30th is really going to be our deadline, folks, because we want to have all the things in place during May so that, in June we hit the ground running. So I think we're building momentum now, slowly but surely. Let me add this. The camp's going to happen with or without the support. I'm dead set on making this camp happen, and I have the ability to make it happen. But I would love for everybody to get involved because the more locals that we have involved, the more community involvement, the more shareholders we have in this, the broader the coalition, the more often we can do this in the future, and we can really make the impact that I think we'll all benefit from.
Jeez, good for you. Good for you. I'll give you a A-plus today.
Thank you, sir.
That's great to see
you.
This happen.
Yeah.
All right, so very simply, if on day one, let's say we go to Winthrop University, mm-hmm. and day two I go to York Tech, and day three I go to Microsoft, I mean, what's going to be happening?
Yeah, yeah.
Are they going to sit me down in a classroom and say, this, I mean, tell me.
No, no, we're not going to bore these kids to death where they have an opportunity to scroll on their phone. The camp motto is 70% hands-on, 30% hands-off. We'll have engaging speakers during those, you know, that 30%. We'll have people that really can, you know, captivate a room and give them stories and give interesting perspectives. But then the rest of the time, like at Winthrop and York Tech and Microsoft, they're going to get to build things. They're going to get to hack things. They're going to get to create things. They're going to get to problem solve. And we're going to put the onus on them to come up with the solutions to the best of their ability. Because even if they aren't able to come up with perfect solutions, we're getting them to think in the correct, logical, and truth-seeking manner when it comes to these fields. So really, really excited about that. And I want to add, the camp is comprehensive. So we're doing STEM during the day. In the evening, we're going to have a civic engagement day workshop. One of the evenings, we're going to have a financial literacy workshop. And one of the evenings, we're going to have a mental health awareness workshop. All of these, I think, are critical issues in our young people. And we want our young people to leave the camp for the week and kind of have a very comprehensive view of themselves and a confidence in themselves that they can go and solve those problems as individuals.
So this is a real camp. I mean, you're going to be away from home.
That's the idea. If we raise enough money, we'll have the hotel rooms to keep them away from home. If not, we'll have the buses and we'll pick everybody up and bring everybody back that day.
But, I mean, today's going to start at, what, 8 o'clock in the morning?
8 o'clock in the morning. Night? Yes, sir. You got it right. Yep.
There you go. Boy, oh, boy. Oh, I wish I was an 11th grader or 12th grader. This would be fun to
Me
do.
Me too, man. Yeah, I want to go.
I mean, did you ever go to one of these STEM camps when you were young?
No.
They probably didn't even have them, did they?
You know, if they did, you had to pay to go. A kid like me wouldn't have been able to attend.
That's
you know,
something.
That's why we're removing that blocker.
Well, I tell you what, I love your energy. So how do people go about registering or sending in their, you know, essay or whatever it is? Do you have a website
to
do this?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a Pursuit of STEM application. I've been sending it to guidance counselors at schools all across the county. But if you look me up on Facebook, the application is available there. It's public on my page. So anybody can see it.
Zach Oxendine?
Zach Oxendine, ZachOxendine. You can also find me on LinkedIn, Zach Oxendine, and I can share the Pursuit of STEM application there. Or you can email pursuitofstem@gmail.com.
Pursuitofstem@what?
Gmail.com.
Gmail.com, okay.
Yes. Wow. And we have, I need to give her a shout out, Lainey Buckley, who is the Director of Community over at the Catawba Indian Nation. She's basically been helping me keep everything on track, keeping me square, making sure all of our logistics are good. So she's been volunteering and been a great asset to our
team. How long have you been working on this?
On this STEM camp?
Yeah.
Well, I built one last year. I've been working on this particular STEM camp since the idea came to us, I think, in November, December, and we've been working on it since January.
Good for you. You've done a lot since January. That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. You
That's
get that
ton.
When you work in technology. Yeah, yeah. It's called minimum viable product. Let's get as most done as simple as possible, as fast as possible.
Microsoft has trained you well.
Yeah, in the Air Force.
And
my mama.
And your mama. All right. Well, Zach, we've run out of time. Thanks for being here.
Yes, sir.
I hope you're overflowing. I hope you have 50 people who want to come to camp.
Thank you,
That
sir.
Would really be nice. You're a ball of energy, and you got the right stuff, as they say in that famous movie. Good for you.
Thank you, brother. I really appreciate it.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Mille Lacs here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, one more time, Zach. We got to tell everybody what we do here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Get off that phone. I'm talking to you. That's right. You know, keep your eyes on me now. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. How do we do it at the count of three? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio Monday. Bye.